it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Devin, the game.
Oh, we're rocking and rolling, baby, here on a payday Friday on the Morning Roast. Joe Spadoni alongside Sam Lubman, who's filling in for Shasky. And we just had Jermaine Wiggins on. Who is Jermaine Wiggins? Well, former NFL tight end, played for the New England Patriots, host over with the Greg Hill Show, WEEI in Boston. And he just had some things to say about one Mac Jones, who, again, is starting this Sunday in New Orleans in place of the injured Brock Purdy. And he said the drop-off from Purdy to Jones was, quote, massive, end quote. Is it that big of a gap, Niner fans? What say you? 888-957-9570. That's the number to call or text. The Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. We got Bobby Hebert coming up at 8:30. Former Saints quarterback and pre- and post-game host for the Saints Radio Network on 105.3 WWL in New Orleans. The Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, in about 25 minutes, Sammy. But yeah, we're just talking about the quarterback because it's a quarterback-driven league. But maybe we should be talking about the defense a little bit more because they held their division rival, Seattle Seahawks, to 13 points last week. In Seattle, what are they going to do against Spencer Rattler in the New Orleans Saints at the Superdome, who we all think is probably going to be a lesser offense than what Seattle has? Like, hell, I'm expecting a sub-20-point performance again from this defense.
Yeah, I mean, well, what do you think is the bigger drop-off, Brock Purdy to Mac Jones or Sam Darnold to Spencer Rattler? I've never been a Spencer Rattler believer. I mean, sure, yeah, he had some good moments at Oklahoma and at South Carolina. Here's how I know. So for those who don't know, Sterling Bennett, who does the Niners post-game show with Mark Grandy, overtime with Mark Grandy, is a big Oklahoma fan. That's why he always wears that Oklahoma hat. And I had the privilege being able to work with Sterling when Spencer Rattler was at Oklahoma. And so, you know, I got all of Sterling's, you know, Spencer Rattler Oklahoma takes. And yeah, Sterling was never big on Spencer Rattler either. And so I kind of, when the big diehard fans of a team aren't in on a quarterback, then I'm kind of like, you know what? There might be some truth to that there. So I've never been enamored with Rattler, and I see him as he's a placeholder quarterback for the Saints, and that he's the quarterback you throw out there because you're trying to win three or four games and get a top pick so you can get Garrett Nussmeier out of LSU in the draft next year.
Well, Spencer Rattler, if we all remember, at Oklahoma was benched for an eventual Heisman Trophy winner, Caleb Williams, during his time when Lincoln Riley was still over at Oklahoma. Lincoln obviously went to USC. Caleb Williams followed, wins the Heisman. The rest is history. Number one overall draft pick last year. Looked like he was going to get a week one win until J.J. McCarthy and the Minnesota Vikings came back on Monday Night Football this past week. So very interesting stuff there. We got, by the way, Ben Johnson. He's got a little reunion this weekend against the Detroit Lions. So a lot of juicy matchups this weekend. Obviously, it started last night with Packers Commanders, who I think everyone at the start of the season would shoehorn into the playoffs at this point. Again, it's so early. No one knows anything about these teams. I will say, though, back-to-back impressive performances from Green Bay. First off, against a still very talented offense with the Detroit Lions, albeit without Ben Johnson, and then against the NFC Championship team of last season, the Darlings, the Cinderella story, the Washington Commanders.
Basically
just shutting them out yesterday.
Debo got in the end zone, though. That was pretty cool.
He did on garbage time. Had a couple doinks yesterday, by the way, in that game. Jake Moody? Do you hear that call? Is that Jake Moody's number?
Do you think Debo Samuel would just like stand outside the door and refuse to let Jake Moody? I thought we were on karate chop watch last night.
Oh, what?
When Matt Gay doinked that one off the upright, his second miss, I'm thinking like, oh man, don't let him get near Debo Samuel. Do you think Debo watched that and he's just like, I literally flew across the country to get away from this nonsense.
Exactly. Shout out Doink the Clown, WWE legend, 888-957-9570.
Oh, there's a clown. I didn't watch WWE as a kid. There's a clown named Doink.
Look it up as I go to this call. Brendan, okay. Brendan in the city. I'll get to you in a second. I know Carter's doing a one-man show back there. He's screening. He's playing drops. He's doing everything. He is crushing it back there. Bobby Hebert, the Cajun Cannon, former quarterback for the Saints, joining us about 23 minutes. Get the lay of the land of this Saints team because, again, we're talking about Mac Jones. This probably is the best landing spot for him. If, you know, Purdy had to miss some time, you would want it to be against this team. Let's call it what it is. I know we want to create urgency. We've got to create urgency. Look. I get it. The Saints stink. It's just,
this is a team that's trying again.
They gotta beat this
team.
They're
trying. This is a tanking team. They want to be in the top five of the draft. Like, no one is anointing Spencer Rattler as their quarterback of the future. No legitimate professional NFL franchise is doing that. Especially, Kellen Moore is a first-time head coach. He's not looking at Spencer Rattler. It's like, yeah, that's the guy who I'm going to start my head coaching career off with. This is a Saints team that wants to be in the top five of the draft so they can get their real quarterback next year and start building up from there.
And by the way, shout out to those watching on YouTube, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan, apply online, or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk, Rachel Brewed in San Francisco. The drop-off from Purdy to Jones this week is what? Before I get to Brendan in the city, let's hear what Jermaine Wiggins told us last segment, Sammy, a guy that's covered Mac Jones out in New England. He says the drop-off from Purdy Jones is massive.
I don't know much about Brock Purdy. I've seen him play and whatever, and I'm still a little bit skeptical. Is he worth that type of money? But I would say it's a massive drop-off, right? Because if you look at the success, and you know, you can't knock the kid Brock Purdy. You look at the success that he's had, and now you look at Mac Jones, and you're going from Brock Purdy to Mac Jones. It's a major, major drop off. So, I mean, I understand the you know, being optimistic and having that because of Shanahan. But, you know, here you're getting a guy that hasn't really shown much success in the NFL. And if you're a team like San Francisco, like in New England, our expectations are low. Like, if we can win 7 or 8 games, maybe 9, great. But I know out there in Frisco, I know you guys are out there looking at it like, shoot, you know, we're expecting big things. So it's going to be interesting to see how Shanahan is able to get things going with Mac Jones at quarterback.
All right, and that was Jermaine Wiggins, former NFL tight end host over at WEEI in Boston. So he's saying it's massive. Brendan, the city, you're on the morning roast. Brendan, how big of a gap is it from Purdy to Jones?
It is a significant gap, considering that Mac Jones has a couple extra years in the league and has 13 less wins than Brock Purdy. I know why Shanahan likes Mac Jones. He's the perfect system quarterback to run Kyle's system, but he cannot improvise. I've never heard of a Mac Jones game where he put the game on his back and won them the game, and I can count on multiple hands the times that Brock has done this. It is considerable enough drop-off that, thank God for Saints week, because he's going to get us through it, and we're on to Arizona. But it is enough of a drop-off that we need to be scared if the turf, though, is going to be sticking around for a lot longer.
All right, so Brendan thinks it's a significant drop-off due to the
I don't disagree.
Comebacks. I will say this. Had Mac Jones and Brock Purdy been flipped in their situations, I think it'd be very similar. I think Mac Jones would have success just like Brock Purdy had success. Now, would he have been an MVP candidate like Brock was? Maybe not. But I still think, as you mentioned, I think it was eloquently put, Sam, probably closer to a Jimmy Garoppolo. But Jimmy Garoppolo, once upon a time, flourished in this system. I know we all like to poke fun and say he stinks. The guy was a quarter away from winning a Super Bowl. Yeah. Like, there is something to be said about that. Now, he didn't make the throw to Emmanuel Sanders. I don't know if you win the game, even if you complete that. You know, I think that game was
There's a lot of other moments.
That game was honestly more on Shanahan, not just sticking with the run game in that one when it was working with Raheem Mostert. But I'm just, again, I don't think Mac has been put in a great position to succeed after his rookie year. That being said, it's not, I can't put it all on coaching. Some of it has to be on the player. And
no, yeah, I agree.
He makes some boneheaded mistakes. He does.
You know, something that Brendan said is, you know, that Mac Jones isn't a guy who can just put the team on his back and carry a team. You know, call him put the team on his back, Jones. And yeah. We mentioned, you know, the Jimmy Garoppolo comps. Jimmy, for all of his success with the 49ers, I can think of really one game. And that's the Arizona Cardinals game in 2019. I believe it was on Halloween night where...
Yeah,
he threw four touchdown passes. That might have been the Mexico game. Sorry, get the crud out of my throat.
Yeah, here. You got to do that, Sam. What's going on?
Yeah, no one wants to hear that.
Is that your
full
game?
We're all fighting through it this week. But yeah, Jimmy wasn't really the guy who's like, I'm going to put the team on my back and carry him either. And the 49ers still found ways to win in those situations. I mean, look, is it crazy to say that the 49ers, the way they will win with Mac Jones is going to be very similar to the way that they won with Jimmy Garoppolo? I mean, granted, it's different when you don't have George Kittle out there. It's different when you don't have Brandon Ayuk out there. But just the overall blueprint, am I crazy to say that the blueprint would look similar to that only because Mac and Jimmy are more similar than Mac and Brock?
I don't think it's that crazy to say. I do think their skill sets are similar. I do think Mac does have a better arm, and I do think we forget.
That's a good point.
The mobility factor of this, they're probably closer because Jimmy post ACL, he was kind of a statue back there. But again, both these guys coming from that Patriots offense, and Jimmy learning behind Tom Brady, learning about, you know, stepping up in the pocket, staying in the pocket, trying to extend plays there. He took a lot of punishment and took a lot of shots. But the mistake factor of both of them, the boom and bust nature of both of them, I think is what I keep coming back to. That is very similar. And that is something that Brock, I know he threw two bad picks last week, but he did make the play that Brennan's talking about, the game-winning play to Jake Tonjes, which Jermaine thought was lucky. I think a lot of people say luck, but I've seen enough magic from Brock in his career to not really say magic anymore. That's just who he is. He makes game-winning plays. It puts his skill position players in positions to succeed. That being said, all right, Mac Jones, can he be the reason that they win this game on Sunday? I believe that. With his arm, at times, he can. And let's not act like, you know, it's all Purdy. Like, oh, Brock Purdy's had all these amazing comebacks. Kyle Shanahan, if he's losing in the fourth quarter, doesn't matter who the quarterback is. They're almost always losing. Now, they won
last week.
No, they won last week.
Broke the mold.
They won. They also lost a lot of players, but they won last week. But that was like his what? Like first win and I don't know.
Ever.
It feels like it. The guy doesn't usually win, and I'm going the guy because it's just Kyle Shanahan's tenure here. When they are down in the fourth quarter, they like almost never come back. So it really hasn't mattered too much about the quarterback in that scenario, though Brock Purdy broke the trend last week, and it was refreshing to see. It's also refreshing to see SF Bay Drummer on the line calling from Houston.
Love SF Bay Drummer.
H-Town, baby. SF Bay Drummer, what's up, man? You got faith in your boy Mac Jones this weekend?
Yeah. Morning, Sam, and morning, Spadoni. I got faith. I think the defense is actually going to be the biggest part and the biggest story of this Sunday. I believe they're going to give Mac Jones short fields to work with, so he doesn't have to think as much and doesn't have to really drive the ball really down the field. And I expect
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Defense to give us at least two scores, a pick six being one of them, and maybe a fumble recovery because I believe the D-line is going to feast. And also I want to say shout-out to Texas Southern University. We didn't win the football game last week versus Cal, but you guys showed up, and the band really showed up, and everybody appreciate them. And then as far as this weekend, Giants, I need you to go to the janitor closet, get a broom, and sweep L.A.
Hell
that's
yeah.
It, that's all.
There he goes. That's SF Bay Drummer down in H-Town. And this is a massive series this weekend. Giants, Dodgers. You got meaningful September baseball. Again, Sunday is loaded, people. Loaded. You better have multiple screens out, first of all.
I know, like triple screening it.
You're going to have the red zone already on one. You'll have 49ers, Saints. You'll be locked in there. Also at 10 o'clock, you got Valkyries playoffs against the Minnesota Lynx starting. So you got to have another screen there. And then after all that's done, Sammy, all right, the 1 o'clock window, you still got the red zone. Then you got Giants, Dodgers, and it's either going to take the series or for a sweep or to avoid a sweep. I don't know what it's going to look like.
Could be the season.
Could be the season on Sunday. Is it going to be Logan Webb or Robbie Ray Sunday?
So it's Verlander tonight, yes, against Yamamoto, and then Kershaw v. Webb tomorrow.
Ooh.
Yeah, that'll be a good
that
one.
That could be the last Kershaw, or is he slated next
week? No,
we're going to
get another one next
week.
Okay, we
are. Okay,
we might get two Kershaw starts next week, because that's just how it's always lined up for him. And then on Sunday, it's Robbie Ray against Tyler Made of Glass now.
Hey, that's my joke, but that's pretty good. Anyway. I think everyone makes that joke.
He's like sunshine if he's about to cry.
No, he looks more like Killian Murphy.
Ooh, there's a good one, yeah.
He looks kind of like him.
Like a young Killian Murphy?
Yeah, exactly. He's
not the old one that was smoking cigarettes in Oppenheimer.
Yeah, not Oppenheimer, Killian Murphy. We'll go Red Eye. That's a deep cut for you.
Let me ask you a question about Mac Jones.
Please.
For any backup quarterback, what's the number one thing you ask of any backup quarterback?
Don't make a mistake.
Well, there's that too. I guess the number two question then is, can you at least get a split?
Oh, sure.
You know, however many games you need to start, can you at least get a split? Do you think that Mac, and we were talking about the drop-off from Brock Purdy to Mac Jones, is the drop-off narrow enough that we feel that if Mac has to play these next four games, let's keep it an even number, do we feel comfortable that he can at least take two of them? Because I believe, like, if you could at least do that as the backup quarterback, I think you've done enough. Is that enough, and do we think that Mac can actually do that?
Yes, I think he can go that. I think he can go 2-0. I think he can, like, again, Mac Jones, as a quarterback in the NFL, has taken a team to the playoffs. He is more than capable of doing exactly what Sam Darnold did last year. Now, is it going to look the same? No, but he is more than capable of winning games in the NFL. He's just been dealt a very bad hand when it comes to offensive coordinators. He got the bad Bill Belichick towards the end there. He's gotten the bad Doug Peterson in Jacksonville. He's dealt with a lot more bad in his NFL career than good. Brock Purdy was dealt a good hand when he came into the NFL. And that's what it looks like. Now, he took advantage of it, and rightfully so. And they had to pay Brock Purdy. And good for him, he got paid. You know, Jermaine Wiggins of the world, a lot of people are still skeptical on that. And maybe some Niner fans are still skeptical about it. And that, you know what? That's your prerogative. I'm not skeptical about when he is on the field and competing. I have full faith in Brock Purdy. Now, how long this injury happens and his injury concern, that's another conversation that we're going to monitor all season long and going forward, Sammy. But for this, you know, minimum 2 weeks, because it's 2 to 5 weeks potentially, according to Rappaport, that Purdy's going to be out. I got faith that Mac Jones can either, at the very least, he'll get the split, Sammy. But he could absolutely go 2-0. Yeah. 3-0 he can. He could beat his old team, the Jaguars.
Yeah, in that situation, yeah, when you look at these next three games, at the Saints versus the Cardinals versus the Jaguars, that Cardinals game is the only one that worries me. And 90% of that worry stems from the fact that the Cardinals took the Niners lunch and ate it in front of them last year. There's the game at the end of the year, which obviously didn't really matter. But yeah, there was that early October game in the 400 degree heat where it just everything just went to poop in the fourth quarter for the 49ers and the Cardinals, you know, kind of ripped the joy from the Niners fan base. That was kind of the start of the spiral last year. So that's kind of why I'm giving the Cardinals a little bit more respect right now, only because the recent history is that they did their jobs against the Niners. And, you know, the Niners kind of, I'm not saying this is a big thing to have to prove, but I need to see the Niners beat the Cardinals, I guess, before I believe that they will beat the Cardinals, which, you know, I don't like saying that. I feel like I shouldn't have to say that. I'm sure Niner fans are yelling mean words at me right now through their radios, but that's just the reality of the NFL right now.
Yeah, but see, I think we're also viewing it in this offensive lens because that's just what we do is we're an offensive-driven society right now. And then shout-out fantasy football, by the way. My guy Tucker Kraft getting me 28 fantasy points yesterday for the Green Bay Packers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. By the way, it's all about the defense. When it comes to this weekend, next weekend, like that's the major difference. We keep forgetting about this. Like Robert Saleh's back. Nick Bosa's making plays again. We got Fred Warner making plays. We got Demo Lenore. I was so impressed with the Renardo Greens last week, stepping up, making plays. The Marquise Seagulls, the Upton Stouts. All these guys
make got a lot better as the game went along.
That's what I'm saying. They showed improvement significantly in one game already. Now, they got to continue to do that. Absolutely. But I am so much more confident that this defense can hold those types of teams and performances that were a problem last year in check this year, Sam. So, you know, Kyler Murray, you know, like saying deuces to, you know, the Devondre Campbells of the world. Yeah, that was last season. That was Nick Sorensen.
Yeah, okay.
Clearly not prepared. I trust Robert Saleh to be able to figure it out. Now, it starts this week in New Orleans against Spencer Rattler, a guy that also can run the ball a little bit. Like, containing this guy is going to be at the forefront, because in the years past, that is something that killed not only D'Amico Ryans, but also Robert Saleh defenses, was scrambling ability of these quarterbacks, whether it was Patrick Mahomes, you know, whether it was Geno Smith last year, whether it's, you know, player X, Russell Wilson at times, whoever you want to go to. Scrambling quarterbacks have given this defense major fits, and that's the one thing I do not want to see in this game.
Yeah,
is Spencer Rattler using his legs.
No, and that's where it's going to be key on. I mean, this is where, you know, Mykel Williams, I don't know if you suited up last week. I mean, you did. I saw your number 98 out there, but I don't think the name Mykel Williams was ever said on the broadcast last week, other than when they were announcing the starting lineups.
He had, I guess, a triple team on the Bosa play, so he got like the ending play where he got the fumble recovery. Mm-hmm. People are saying that there was a lot of attention taken to Michael. I don't know. That's it.
Whatever. I need more than
that's
that.
That's what I'm telling you.
Yeah, no, I need more than, you know, you got to really look at the finer details to really appreciate how great he was. Who was the guy on that was like, we used to say that about like Khalil Mack or something, or like when he wasn't getting enough pass rush, it was, oh, you got to look at the finer details.
Kind of. Like, there is something to be said about that when it comes to, like, you know.
I agree. Yeah,
there's Khalil Mack. There are levels to this. Like,
yeah,
Micah Parsons last night, you might look at the box score and say, oh, yeah. Well, no sacks.
I think we did that for Dee Ford at 1.2. You got to look at the finer. No, what I need Mykel Williams, first off, control that outside run there. Don't give up contain. Because that's what you have to do with running quarterbacks. And yeah, just to show up, dude. Like, show why you were picked in the draft where you were. Show why the Niners made you their first round pick this week against a very not good Saints offensive line. This could be a great chance for you to have a coming out party against this bad team in New Orleans Saints. So yeah, let's see a lot more Mykel Williams this week, because that's just going to make life easier for Nick Bosa. You know, the whole point of this is Mykel Williams needs the ball out to take a pressure off of Nick Bosa so that Nick Bosa can start doing Nick Bosa things. So it starts there on the defensive line, and also the middle of the defensive line. Yeah, need to see a lot more improvement there too, because I do not need Alvin Kamara chewing up clock getting 4 yards per carry.
So we had Greg Cosell on earlier this week, courtesy of River Islands, with our guys Mark Willard and Dan Dibley. This is what he had to say about the 49ers defense in that week one performance in Seattle.
I didn't know this was going to happen because, you know, I'm not in their meetings, obviously, but I really liked Siegel coming out of Kansas State.
Yeah.
And when I saw that he was the starter, I was like, wow, I'm that really pleased me, because I really liked his tape and I thought he was a better player than where he got drafted. And obviously he's now a starting player, but I really like what they did up front. That's going to get better and better. You know, Huff looks solid. So it's Bosa and Huff on the edge with Gross Matos and Williams inside. But Winters, I mean, we know Warner. He's been doing it for years. He's the best linebacker in the game, and I don't think there's a close second. But I thought Winters really showed up as well. He's a solid football player.
D. Winters was popping on that screen last week. That's a guy I don't think we've talked about enough this week. And we saw it last year. You know, having Devondre Campbell in there instead of Dre Greenlaw, it was just it's night and day. The vibes, the feels, the tone that's being set, or lack thereof, when Campbell was out there, compared to just really a half of football we saw from Dre Greenlaw against the Rams on Thursday Night Football last season, it was night and day. And I'm getting Greenlaw vibes from D. Winters. Again, it's one game, but I saw it in that one game performance, in a divisional game in Seattle. Like, that was significant for me, against a guy in Sam Darnold that got paid a lot of money, against some really good skill position players / running backs, the Charbonnets of the world, the Kenneth Walkers, Jackson Smith and Jigba, like Cooper Kupp. These are some like significant names, and he more than held his own last week. It was refreshing to see, quite frankly.
No, again, that's one of the things I love, and I'm very excited to see what D. Winter is going to be doing against this Saints team this year, this week, and in the follow-up of. I love what D. Winter did last week. Very excited to see him, more of him.
I'm very excited to talk to Bobby Hebert coming up on the other side. Former Saints quarterback, pre- and post-game for the Saints Radio Network on WWL 105.3 in New Orleans. The Cajun Cannon coming up next, talking Saints, Niners, right here on the Morning Roast. Sam Lubman in for Joe Shasky. And it's going to be brought to you by Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Was coming out.
Everyone was.
In. Like, he was the next Andrew Luck, John
Elway. Yeah, he was the number one pick as a freshman.
Exactly. And, I mean, I know they won in week one, but he didn't really look amazing in that game either. A lot of question marks around him, Leon Cohen, and that whole team. And the Niners are going to be facing him in a couple weeks. And will Mac Jones be the quarterback at that time? That would be very fascinating. A revenge scenario potentially for Mac Jones there. So a lot to get to there. We got our guy, though, Jermaine Wiggins, joining us now, courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line on the Morning Roast. Joe Spadoni alongside Sam Lubman, who's filling in for Shasky this morning. And Jermaine, obviously, host with the Greg Hill Show on WEEI in Boston, our Odyssey sister station, former Patriots tight end and Super Bowl champion. Jermaine, good morning. Let's bring you right into this conversation we're having, because Brock Purdy is out this week and Mac Jones is in. Who the hell is Mac Jones? Who is this guy? Who are we getting? Are we getting that first-year Mac Jones who looked incredible, or are we getting last year's Mac Jones who did not look very incredible? Good morning, Jermaine.
Good morning. Well, I would say this. I would think that you would be getting the good Mac Jones, right? Because if everybody tells me that Kyle Shanahan is the offensive whisperer who can make any quarterback look good, so I would think that you'd be getting the rookie Mac Jones that we saw back here with the Patriots in 2021. But then again, I mean, that's not much. It's not like he's going to get you to the Super Bowl. So it's going to be interesting to see what Shanahan could actually do with Mac Jones.
Yeah, I guess that's the kind of question we want to know is, like, do you think that Mac Jones is a quarterback that Kyle Shanahan can win with?
I think Kyle Shanahan has proven that he can win with, like, Matt Ryan, but Matt Ryan is way better. I think Brock Purdy, that was the biggest thing that I was thinking about. I was watching that San Francisco game, and at a point in time, I was like, wait a second, you paid this guy almost $250 million or whatever it was, and I think at that point in time he had maybe thrown an interception, and the one that the touchdown that the kid caught in the end zone, I was like, well, that was pure luck. I wonder if Shanahan can actually do something with Mac Jones, because he wasn't very good when he was here in New England.
Talking about Jermaine Wiggins here on the Morning Roast, host of the Greg Hill Show on WEI in Boston, former Patriots tight end Mac Jones making the start this week in New Orleans. And why didn't it work out with Mac in New England? Because we mentioned that rookie year, it started off so incredible. Was it as simple as, you know, Josh McDaniels, the then OC, left to become the Raiders head coach, and then the wheels fell off the entire team, Jermaine?
Well, I think part of it was Bill, and we all love Bill over here, but Bill did something dumb, which is he made a guy who had never been an offensive coordinator, Matt Patricia, an offensive coordinator who was a defensive coordinator. So that, honestly, that didn't help Mac, but Mac wasn't very good. I mean, he made a lot of bad decisions. He had no mobility, so he wasn't very good. Now, granted, there wasn't a ton of talent that he had to work with, but he just wasn't good enough to elevate guys. And I think that's the biggest thing, is that he didn't have that. He just didn't have that it factor. And I think that's been the struggle with his career. When he went to Jacksonville and got his opportunity down there, he wasn't very good. And I don't think he's going to be very good in San Francisco. I mean, you think about San Francisco, you're going to be without George Kittle. I'm not even sure what's the situation with Jennings. Isn't he banged up?
Well, that's not it. He avoided significant shoulder injury, but he hasn't been practicing, so he might miss this week. Hey, but Jermaine, they still got Christian McCaffrey. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, listen, when McCaffrey's healthy, he's unbelievable. But the problem with him, the guy can never stay healthy. You know, other than Ricky Purcell, you really have one player on offense, and everybody loves McCaffrey. Listen, I would have took him when he was leaving, when Carolina traded him. I wanted him in New England, but the guy can never stay healthy. And so I think it's really going to be a challenge for Shanahan, who had very high expectations with this team going into the season. And now that Purdy's out and Mac Jones is the guy, and who knows how long he's going to be the guy for, it's going to be very interesting to see. I would say this, Shanahan's going to have to earn his keep, and he's going to have to earn his money when it comes to winning with Mac Jones at quarterback.
Jermaine, I want to ask you this, because you're a former player. We have a lot of fans right now very frustrated and quite frankly exhausted with Kyle Shanahan because of the amount of injuries that this team's.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sustains year in and year out. I know Warren Sharp, I don't know if you know him, but he's a tapped in analytics guy. The Niners are the number one most injured team last year. They've been in like the top 10 or top 5 in like 6 of the last 7 seasons. They get hurt a lot, and fans are starting to get frustrated, whether it's Kittle, whether it's, you know, Jennings, now Brock Purdy. Like, they're blaming the head coach. Is that fair?
I don't think that's necessarily fair. I mean, when you start to look at the injuries and, you know, you look at, you know, Kittle, for example, hamstring injury. I don't know how you put that on Shanahan. I don't know how he runs his training camps. I mean, I came up in an era where we used to have real two-a-days every single day and, you know, it was hitting and it was a lot of running and that kind of stuff. And so, you know, guys weren't getting hurt all the time. I think you know what it is. I think with the San Francisco guys, those guys are they're built too much. They're built like Greek gods, and every one of them shredded up. And I feel like every time I see somebody who's shredded up, they're always getting hurt. Maybe they need a, you know, when I played, I didn't have the best body in the world. Maybe they need a, you know, Kittle might have to. I know he does the Little Caesar pizza commercials, but maybe start eating some more pizza, brother.
Yeah, I mean, you bring – okay, I like that training method there. Maybe I should try that too. But, I mean, Jermaine, yeah, you mentioned that you guys used to have the two-a-days. You're hitting everyone, and you still didn't have as many injuries. Obviously, there's the physical aspect where, you go, guys had the not-as-chiseled bodies. But I don't know, if you were ever able to get down to training camp now for the Patriots in the last few years – if when you do get down there, what are they doing differently at practice these days, NFL teams, that is the most noticeable difference from when you were a player doing your two-a-days once upon a time?
I would say that I was just playing on the pizza thing. That, you know, don't
hey, we
do
love
that,
pizza, though, so not mad at it.
Yeah, we love pizza, but I would say that I think the biggest thing is that they don't hit as much. They don't tackle as much. That's why you see there's a lot of sloppy tackling. There's a lot of missed tackles. But I also think, and I don't know what it is, like, you know, I'm no sports scientist or strength and conditioning coach. I feel like that, like, nowadays, the game does take care of you physically, right? So you're not pounding as much. You're not running as much. So you're not, you know, getting some of those, like, soft tissue injuries that you see George Kittle have. I think, you know, when you look at Christian McCaffrey, he's got the calf injury. So, like, some of those things that, you know, those injuries come when you're physically tired because you've been running a lot, but you're still trying to push yourself 100 miles an hour. And in today's game, they don't do that as much. So, you know, I would think that it would help you, but maybe all of that stuff that we did back in the day, and this is, you know, people would say, like, all that hitting and pounding and pushing yourself through, maybe that helped you from getting hurt. I don't know, but I would think I tell you what, if I could go back and play, I would much rather play in today's era than in the era I played in, just because of all the hit and banging that we had to do that you don't have to do as much now.
Yeah, no, getting tackled or tackling in practice is not as fun as the games. Jermaine, you mentioned a little while ago that, you know, Mac doesn't really have the mobility that, you know, you see in a lot of quarterbacks these days. One of Brock Purdy's greatest attributes is his ability to use his legs when a play breaks down, to extend it, make a play downfield. 49ers offensive line, it's a little shaky right now. If the 49ers offensive line can't really protect Mac on Sunday and Mac does have to use his legs, what's that game going to start to look like for the 49ers in that situation?
I'm going to say this. There'll be a lot of people in the Bay Area that'll be throwing their remotes at their television because, you know, Mac is, he can't move back there. When he runs, it looks like he's dragging a piano behind his back. So there'll be a lot of mad 49er fans in that Bay Area throwing their remotes at the television because he just doesn't have that. Not only is he not, like, you know, athletic enough to kind of get out of stuff. You got to have a good pocket presence, and he just doesn't have that. So, you know, you put those two things together, and he basically becomes a statue back there. And, you know, you could tee off on guys like that. But, you know, I guess luckily the 49ers are playing New Orleans. So, you know, you got a game that you can – I know it's in New Orleans, but you got a game that you should be able to win. But it's really about Kyle Shanahan. Now, when's he going to – I guess I would ask the question for all the 49er people out there. When is he going to get over that hump? Everybody talks about him being a great coach. But when do you get over that hump and show that you can actually win a championship?
I mean, he's gotten close, Jermaine. I mean, he just ran into one of the greatest.
Only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades.
Yeah, but I hear you. But he's never had the best quarterback in those matchups, right? He's never had the best quarterback. I mean, Andy Reid's a Hall of Famer, and so is Patrick Mahomes. Sometimes it happens.
But I mean, you brought up the talent, though. You brought up the McCaffreys. You brought up the George Kittle. Listen, Nick Bosa. I guess the question becomes, you know, and I know if I know as a fan, I don't want to hear we got close. Like, we're either there winning, and if we get there and lose, like, maybe it's different because we come from, I know it's been a long time, the city of champions, but we celebrate winning championships.
Guys just lost to Geno Smith. Relax, okay? Let's take a step back here. Come on. Drake May, the next gift from God. Come on.
Yeah. Well, life's a lot easier when you got the GOAT slinging passes for you back in the day, too. You know, Jermaine, it's...
You know, that's my point, though. That's the thing. We're like, is Drake May even the guy around here? Like, we're questioning that. So I guess that's all I'm saying is, like, if you're a fan, you got to get to the point where it's like, all right, it's time to either ish or get off the pot. And with Shanahan, you've had a lot of talent, and I know it has to be I'm frustrated here in New England, and I know we're nowhere near close to being where we need to be.
Talk with Jermaine Wiggins here, Greg Hill Show on WEI Boston for Patreon. All right, all this negativity. What's the good with Mac Jones? What does Mac Jones do? Well, he's got an arm, right? I saw him at Bama. He could sling it.
Yeah, I think at Bama's a little different, though. I mean,
I know.
When you're Bama in the SEC and your team's loaded with Devontae Smith and, you know, think about all the talented players.
Judy, Jacobs, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Derrick Henry, I know he didn't play with him, but just think about all the talent. I mean, it's pretty – look at all the Bama quarterbacks that slung the football around, but when they get to the NFL, it's just a different breed because you're going to have to be in a position where, okay, can you go out there and can you make good decisions? Can you be able to deal with whatever adversity comes? And that's why I think, you know, and I'll give Shanahan credit. I ain't gonna knock him, right? I mean, he was able to get to a Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo. He was able to basically get Brock Purdy paid. So now you're gonna really see, can you do it with a kid like Mac Jones? I think it's difficult because he didn't show much here in New England other than his rookie year. But Shanahan has proven that he can, you know, make something out of nothing when you talk about quarterbacks and you talk about offense.
Jermaine, I got there's a lot of fans out here who are optimistic that Mac's actually going to be under center. But I'm kind of curious, when it comes to the drop-off from Brock Purdy to Mac Jones, how big of a drop-off do you think it is?
I would say, and listen – I don't know much about Brock Purdy. I've seen him play and whatever, and I'm still a little bit skeptical. Is he worth that type of money? But I would say it's a massive drop off, right? Because if you look at the success, and you know you can't knock the kid Brock Purdy. You look at the success that he's had, and now you look at Mac Jones, and you're going from Brock Purdy to Mac Jones. It's a major, major drop off. So I mean, I understand the you know, being optimistic and having that because of Shanahan, but you know, here you're getting a guy that hasn't really shown much success in the NFL. And if you're a team like San Francisco, like in New England, our expectations are low. Like if we can win 7 or 8 games, maybe 9, great. But I know out there in Frisco, I know you guys are out there looking at it like, shoot, you know, we're expecting big things. So I it's going to be interesting to see how Shanahan is able to get things going with Mac Jones at quarterback.
It's funny you say that, Jermaine. We appreciate your time this morning. Actually, it was very – like, Niner fans are very down heading into this season. They were saying – If we could win 10 games and sneak into the playoffs, that would be great. So stock right now, the Niners kind of down, but if they could win this week, if they can step up with Brock Purdy being down, I think that would boost their confidence for sure. Hey, Jermaine, great stuff this morning. We really appreciate it, man. And good luck the rest of the way.
All right. Anytime, fellas.
Thanks, Jermaine. Goes.
Jermaine Wiggins, Greg Hill Show, WEI in Boston, former Patriots tight end. I couldn't let him, you know, poo-poo our guy Kyle Shanahan like that. They would kill in Boston for a guy like Kyle Shanahan.
Like Niner fans poo-poo Kyle Shanahan that way all the time. Why can't he do it?
Well, I mean, he seems to think that, like, the expectations are, like, massive this year, and that's why I was like, it's not that. It's not Super Bowl or bust. That's not how fans are viewing it this season. I think it was more of a frustration, and I am kind of glad he kind of talked about it as a former player, Sam. He's like, yeah, it might just be unlucky. Like, it's not like George Kittle, the hamstring, that soft tissue, Christian McCaffrey, same thing. But I do think it's just a frustration overall from the fan base of not getting it done. That's why we point the finger, right?
Yeah, well, there has to be a reason for everything. And when the Niners don't win, it's because Kyle Shanahan is doing XYZ to get players not prepared, or scheming guys wrong, or he's tightening up, or he's getting guys injured. There always has to be a boogeyman, even if we have to create one on our own. And I thought it was interesting, you know, in regards to the practice differences, where, you know, Jermaine talks about how back in the day they were hitting more, the practices were longer, yet there weren't as many injuries. And it's almost like, you know, when you have the intensity in the practice, you know, the games become easier. You know,
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
Browns
why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.